This is a podcast from Seven Vineyard.
I think most people know me. If you don't, I'm Rosie. It's short for Rosalind. It looks like spelt Rosie, but it's not. So yes, I'm married to Kyle, who did the worship, so it's a bit of our family show this morning. Sorry about that. So yes, I have had an interesting journey with the sermon today. I was reading this great book, which, if you want to know, ask me about later. I was reading this great book that I was like, yes, this is brilliant. I'll share about this on Sunday in my talk. That'll be lovely. Finished it. Said, okay, Lord, how do we start? And he said, I don't want you to talk about the book. I want you to talk about something completely different. I was like, okay, right. So what do you want to talk about? So the topic for today is forgiveness. So I know that this is a massive topic and one that I'm not going to be able to cover everything with in 20, 25 minutes, but I will try and do my best and share what I felt the Lord had for us today. So I know that forgiveness can be a very difficult topic. It can be a very painful topic. It can seem impossible. You can have, I forgive everyone apart from these people in this category, all of these things. And it's also really hard, especially in our culture, which is very tolerate absolutely everything. But also, if you don't agree with me, I'm going to cancel you and I'm going to ghost you and I'm going to cut you out of my life. So that's sort of, maybe it's because I have three small kids, but I always think our culture is a little bit Timon from The Lion King, a little bit like when the world turns its back on you, you turn your back on the world. But that's not actually God's perspective. And so let's have a little bit of a look on what could be his perspective. So we all like to be forgiven. I like to be forgiven, to have forgiveness released to me. And I think one of the reasons why we're drawn to Jesus is because of his promise of forgiveness. And so it's a gift that Jesus gives us. But it's also a process, and it doesn't just happen like that. In Matthew 18, Peter asks Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him, as many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. And what's Jesus saying in this? I'm not sure that it's right to say that he's saying, right, well, you can tally it up, forgive one thing 490 times, and then you don't have to forgive anymore. Or forgive one person 490 times, and then if they do something else, then, you know, you can harbor unforgiveness. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think with this passage, he is saying, forgive and forgive and forgive until you have forgiven. And this can be easy, as I've said. You know, it could be that, I don't know, Kyle woke me up snoring, and I'll forgive that, even though it happens again and again and again. Yeah, or it can be the hardest thing in the world. Forgiveness, you know, some people can do awful things to us, but this is when it becomes an act of obedience, of trust in God. It almost becomes a spiritual discipline. And we may need to place our unforgiveness before Jesus, time and time and time again, until we see our hearts release that forgiveness that's needed. Because it's a command, it's what's required of us, it's not just an idea. And sometimes I don't think we realize that both positive and negative emotions and thoughts can actually be a choice. So we can choose to love, we can choose to love our spouse even if they frustrate us or do things because we're committed to them. We can choose to change our character and let the Lord develop who we are. We can choose to be obedient to Jesus and his teachings even when it's hard or we don't want to. We can choose to forgive and we can also choose not to do all of these things. But I think we need to actively learn to not be completely led by our emotions but let the Lord's Spirit lead us. Not just how we feel at the time. Again, a difference in our culture is do what feels good, and actually that's not God's way of just doing whatever you feel like or whatever feels good. So we need to choose forgiveness. Because no one ever said following Jesus was easy. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It doesn't say sign on the dotted line, give your life to Jesus, and life will be brilliant. But it is life-giving, and it is what is best for us, and it is the way that he's designed us. A very challenging and not always focused part on of forgiveness is that we actually need to forgive so we can be forgiven. And this is clearly stated in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And that's the one thing that Jesus said, pray this. If you can't pray anything else, pray this. So, and that's in there, so it's rather significant. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that the Lord forgives an unrepenting heart. So an unforgiving heart might actually be an unforgiven heart. And I think we're holding ourselves back from being forgiven if we don't forgive. And to share with you a little story from Matthew 18. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Ouch. See, it's not just a nice idea to forgive. And this was Jesus' words. It's not just a nice idea to forgive. It's not even just a good thing to do. And here I believe Jesus is saying that he's seen all of our brokenness, all of our weaknesses, all of the horrible, awful things that we think, say, and do, or all of the things we neglect to think, say, and do. Yet he has chosen to wipe our slate completely clean. And in turn, we need to forgive those who offend and hurt us. How can we expect God to forgive us when we then don't pay it forward and forgive others? And yeah, it can be easy to forgive, especially when the person realizes what they've done. That's really helpful. Saying sorry, you know, people try and right the wrongs and everything. But what if someone tramples all over you and maybe doesn't realize or not even care? You know, this is going out on the internet, so I'm not going to give details. But I had a very interesting grandmother who was quite destructive within our family. And she was very cruel. She was very, tried to weave lots of divisions in lots of different times in my immediate family of five. And it was very difficult to have a relationship with her, very difficult to go and see her. Whenever we'd see her, we'd sort of have a nice time and I'd think, okay, I don't think I said anything to Nana that will kind of somehow incriminate me with something. But then, lo and behold, a week or so later, my mum would get a phone call saying, "Rosalind said this and this and this, and this happens this," and lots of trying to... It was almost like she didn't want us to have this right relationship. It was very bizarre, really. Going to her funeral was one of the bizarrest experiences because she was a very different person to her friends. So we organized and did her funeral, and lots of her friends were sort of saying these beautiful stories about her, and she wasn't that way to us. So it was a whole thing. But for a long time, I actually kind of sat with my kind of harboring bitterness and unforgiveness towards her, because I kind of felt like I had a right to do so. Like, well, why should I forgive her? She does this and this and this. And then if I forgive that, she then does something else. So why should I? And it just felt more comfortable. It felt like that was the easiest thing to do. You know, I would see her because she was my nan, but sort of with a kind of chip on my shoulder about it. And it's really hard to forgive someone when they are a repeat offender. It's a massive challenge. But actually, I worked through a process with this. And when I came to a point where I had actually just released forgiveness and just said, you know what, that's her. I understand what she's like, but she's still my nan. And actually, I felt it was just an amazing release for me. Like, her behavior didn't then have a hold over me, and the things that she had done weren't somehow sort of causing a knot within me. And so to release that was so healing for me. And see, forgiving is our responsibility. And if we choose not to forgive, we're doing no better than the person who's offended us. Unforgiveness can be like a rope that someone's put a rope around us, and we, because they hurt us, and we are just tightening that rope and putting it around us again, somehow constricting ourselves and in our minds thinking we're constricting them. Or like a poison that we drink, wanting that person to suffer. And actually, that person could be going around doing wonderful things, completely oblivious, having a great time. Meanwhile, we're sat in this kind of burden of bitterness and unforgiveness and anger towards someone. So it doesn't actually solve anything for us if we have that unforgiveness. Unforgiveness doesn't give us anything, even if, as I said, sometimes it kind of feels like dignified. And so we're hurting ourselves rather than the other person, even if we don't feel they deserve forgiveness. Because they may not deserve it, but maybe we deserve not to have the hurtful things bind us. Maybe we deserve to be free of that hurt and that unforgiveness. So why else would Jesus be so strong in this? You know, in John 10, verse 10, it says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come, that's Jesus, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I think this is a good point to pause and say what I always say in every talk, because I can't get away from it. Jesus is absolutely crazy about you. Jesus cares about what happens to you. He thinks you are incredible. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about what holds you back. He cares with this unrelenting, completely unconditional love that he has. And he cares what holds us back from truly living a full life that he wants for us. So many things in life take from us. The devil, others, circumstances, even ourselves. My gosh, the amount of times I hold myself back. But we're not in heaven yet. The new earth hasn't come. Jesus hasn't come back, as far as I know. Awful things will happen in this life. But in this life where we are right now, Jesus wants to bring us as much of his love, as much of his kingdom, as much of his freedom as is possible. And forgiveness, both receiving it and giving it, I believe is a big part of this. And we also need to realize our need for forgiveness and how we can also hurt people. We need to realize our forgiveness from God and others. I don't want any of us to be rejected and remain unforgiven by God or anyone because we've got this unforgiven knot in our heart that we're not releasing. I have this amazing friend from Rwanda who lived through the genocide when he was 15, and he saw atrocities that I can't even begin to imagine. He saw relatives killed, he saw friends killed, his father went to prison, he saw people burn his neighbor's house down, like all of these things that just are kind of unimaginable in my world, you know, and he had a long journey of working out his forgiveness towards people, realizing that it would hold him back. He became a Christian a bit after that, and he said one of the main things, one of the first things that the Lord spoke to him about was, you need to forgive these people. And he even went as far as following what the Lord asked him to do, which was to go to some of these people and say to them, I forgive you, because he didn't want to be. It was kind of this really bizarre thing where he said, the genocide happened, all of these atrocities happened, and then a little while later, you're walking down the road and you see some of the people that had done these things. And he said, I kind of released forgiveness, but then I was like, I'm not going anywhere near them. I'll walk the other side of the street. I'm not, you know. And actually, he said, well, no, that's therefore still had a hold on me, and I wanted to be released as much as I could be through that. And I mean, he's just amazing to talk to. He doesn't have bitterness towards what happened. He is such a, when he talks about it, there isn't a burden and a pain. There is forgiveness and a release to the Lord that the Lord is with him. And it's incredible. And see, because this is a commandment, God has made our relationships with this element needing to be included, forgiveness and reconciliation. And I always find that one of the astonishing things about forgiveness is how healing it is. Another story I want to share with you from the Gospels is from Mark 2. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. I'm sure the house owner was very pleased with that. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law were sitting there, thought to themselves, "What's he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? But so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." You see, with God, it's actually all about the heart. With this story, God is saying that there is nothing more important than having a right relationship with him. That it is more important to be forgiven by God than to be able-bodied. Jesus saw the heart of the paralyzed man and forgave his sins. Even though the different people were confused for different reasons and, oh, it was blasphemy and all of these things. If the man had only been physically healed, his heart still wouldn't have been right. So we desperately need to realize our need for forgiveness. So in this story, Jesus healed the man physically, kind of just to prove that he is who he says he is, and that he has the authority to forgive sins. So the physical healing was also important, but secondary. And here I'm not saying God doesn't care about our physical bodies. He really does. But actually, he cares more about our hearts. We can't take our physical bodies anywhere after death, but our spirit is eternal. And so that needs healing above all else. I will say, if you're finding it hard to release forgiveness, please don't be alone. Speak to someone. There are plenty of people in this space right here who would love to speak to you, pray with you. I found that listening to worship, if I don't have words to say or anything, is really helpful. I'm an artist, and I find painting is sometimes even more therapeutic than saying words. But speak directly to God. Connect directly with God with this. I've found that one amazing gift of prayer and spending time with Jesus is, the more that I do that, the more I'm able to see things from God's perspective. Because prayer really does help, even if we start off in tears and through gritted teeth with a bad attitude about it. I don't want to do this. Actually, the more we do that, the more we come to Jesus, the more we open ourselves. I mean, he knows everything that's going on in us. It's not like you can keep anything a secret from Jesus. But he longs for us to share this with him, to be able to help us. And God's perspective is vital for us to be able to live our lives the way he intends and the way he's designed as best for us. And as I've said, forgiveness can sometimes seem so impossible when we see what people have done from our own perspective and how much it has hurt us. I think of it like Mount Everest. If you stand at the bottom of Mount Everest and look up, if you're anything like me, you'd say, not even going to try. It's just too hard. It's too big. How people climb that mountain, I'll never know. I'm not even going to do that. Completely insurmountable. But if you were to fly over it in an aeroplane, you could look down on it and almost feel, oh, it looks quite small from up here, doesn't it? It's all about perspective, and we need God's heavenly perspective to be able to defeat some huge mountains in our lives. And this includes the ability to forgive certain things. And yes, this can take a lot of time. And I'm not trying to belittle things and say that it can just happen just by willing it, or that we can say, this person totally ruined my life and I forgive them. Ding! I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. But, hold on. But I think we need, like, God is not a genie in a lamp to grant a wish of healing or forgiveness. He wants to help us through this whole process, to hold our hand. He doesn't say, this is a command, off you go. He says, this is a command, come to me. To hold our hand as we just chug along, choosing to forgive, choosing to be healed, choosing to accept God's perspective until we discover that we have forgiven. Sometimes in this process, I sort of get to a point and I'm like, oh, that doesn't hurt anymore. Okay, Lord, we've turned a corner, you know, and I can feel that forgiveness. I can feel that freedom. You know, as I mentioned with my friend from Rwanda, it may be that part of your forgiveness journey is to reconcile with those who have hurt you, and it might not be. I would urge you in the process of forgiveness and letting God into that to ask the Lord what he wants you to do. It might be that he just wants you to forgive and never see someone. It might be that he wants you to forgive and approach them in some way. I had a friend from school who we were very best friends in our early teen years, and then a lot of things happened and we weren't friends anymore. And I remember going to parties, any party I went to in sort of years 10 and 11. If she was there, totally unsort of provoked, she'd come up to me and sort of have big shouting things at me and call me all of these things and accuse me of all these things I'd never done. And it was a very tense time, not very nice. And obviously I was relieved to leave school and not have to see her again. And sort of forgot about that and just said, well, that's that. And then a few years later, when I was finishing university, I was about to go on a YWAM discipleship training school, which is a missions training school thing where you work a lot on your heart and then you do a lot of outreach and missions. And if you want to know more about that, talk to me. And before that, I was saying, okay, Lord, do I need to do anything to kind of prepare for going on the DTS? And I was, you know, kind of not thinking about this. And then she fell into my head, and I felt the Lord say, I want you to write her a letter. And the main thing I want you to do is ask for forgiveness for anything that you have done to hurt her. And so the letter was mainly that. And I also said in it, I just want you to know anything I feel you may have done to hurt me, I forgive you. And one of my best friends that knew about this and also knew her said, don't send it, she doesn't want to know, all of these things. But I was like, no, I need to do this because God is really clearly saying this. So I sent the letter, and I felt such a release to do that and didn't sort of think about it for the next 15 years, probably, that much. But I always kind of knew that she was out there, that there was someone out there that hated me for no reason or for little reasons in teenage, you know, and it wasn't a nice thought. And then I suddenly, a couple of years ago, got a friend request from her on Facebook, and I messaged her and said, given our history, I'm assuming this was an accident. And she said, oh no, water under the bridge, it's fine, how are you? And we chatted lots. And it was actually really lovely that she's never mentioned the letter. And I haven't met up with her. She lives in a different part of the country. And I don't think we'd ever be kind of, you know, bosom buddies. But it's that process was so healing and surprising. And actually it felt really nice to be like, oh, she doesn't hate me. Okay, great. Even though obviously those things happened when I was 13 and I'm now nearly 40. But it just, these things have things over you. And so if you can release that forgiveness, if you can release healing, it means that you can get on with the things that God has for you. You can get on with living your life without having these niggles. And I honestly believe that things like forgiveness and bitterness can even almost manifest themselves physically in our bodies, the stress and the burdens and everything, as well as build up massive barriers against others and against God, even if people have nothing to do with the hurt and the pain that we've been caused. That's a whole other thing that I'd love to go into, but I don't have time. But building up these walls and these barriers against other people, again, holds us back. We had a lovely, lovely friend on our work team in Bristol a few years ago, and she was really working through stuff, but she had some really big walls up, and people would often say, she's not very nice to me, or she's not, you know, and actually, it wasn't that. It was that she'd been hurt a lot and was working through it, but then therefore assumed, sort of had this, I'm going to be rejected by anybody new, so before I'm rejected by them, I will kind of put my walls up. And she was working on a process with Jesus to break down those walls, and we were seeing amazing stuff. She's now, well, she died in a car accident, which was very, very horrible. But I wasn't going to share this at all. But I actually had a dream about her a few weeks after she died. And and she came to me and she said to me, I mean, you know, I don't know about theology of dreams, but this is in my dream. She came to me and said, I just want you to know, you and my mum to know that I'm okay. But the thing that I remember so clearly, as if I'd had the dream last night, was how whole she was, how comfortable in her own skin she was, how she was Michelle. She just was, in all of the things that we prayed for her and all of the things that she talked about and all of the tears that she cried over things. She was just fully whole. And I wish that she had had more of that while she was here with us. But it's just... yeah, it's just amazing to think that she has that now. She doesn't have to deal with any of the baggage and any of the barriers, you know? But Jesus doesn't want anything to hold us back in this life. Before we get to meet him face to face, he wants us to live the fullest and most fulfilled lives that we can. And so he's not saying forgive for the sake of it. He never asks us to do anything because I said so. He actually has really good reasons. And so I just want to finish with one of my favourite passages of Scripture, which is from Romans 8. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I've shared quite a lot of things, thrown quite a lot of aspects of forgiveness at you. And I'd just like to take a few minutes now. Kyle's just going to come up and play a song, hopefully. Good. And I just urge you to take a moment, just sit in your seat, close your eyes, invite God into your heart. Are there people, you know, you might be thinking of the people in your head right now, are there people, are there situations that the Lord really wants to heal you and bring forgiveness, that he might even want to say to you, this situation that you think you did that is unforgivable, I forgive you. So Lord, would you come now? Jesus, would you come? Would you be with each one of us? Lord, would you bring to mind anything that is, yeah, that you want us to see this morning, Lord, that you want to bring your perspective, your love, that you want to bring healing, you want to bring forgiveness, you want to bring breakthrough. Jesus, would you come? Because we don't want to just bumble around this life in brokenness, Lord. As much as we can, before we meet you, we want to be whole. We want to be people who radically love others. We want to be people who live a life that is the fullest it can be. Jesus, would you come?